Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us on the broadcast today. Good things are happening. And today, if I have my days right, today is September the 10th. And this is also my wife's birthday. So I want to wish her a very happy birthday today and thank the Lord for her. And I'm so excited about the fact that God has blessed me with a godly wife. And you know, if you have a godly spouse, you ought to thank the Lord for that person every single day and just celebrate them. And I tell our men at the church all the time, if you will treat your wife like a queen every time, all the time, I promise you with time, she will treat you like a king every time and all the time. And so I'm so excited. So happy birthday to my wife and everybody else who may be celebrating a birthday today. I hope today is a very special day for you. Well, we've been going through a series on faith and how we can expand our faith and going through this understanding of how God builds up our faith. And so I want to look today at the story of blind Bartimaeus. But before we get too far into the message today, I want to talk to you about the domino reaction of faith. Now, faith can work in a good thing, and it's actually like a muscle that will constantly grow. But if you don't use it, then the opposite will happen. You will actually begin to diminish in your faith. There's a book that was written by Mark Batterson called Chase the Lion. He wrote back in a story about 1983 and writes about Lauren Whitefield, who published an article about the domino chain reaction. Now, you can get this in your mind, can't you? You knock over a domino, and it sets off this chain reaction that can knock down hundreds of dominoes in a matter of seconds. But the unique significance of Whitehead's research was discovering that a domino is capable of knocking over another domino that is 1.5 times its size. So if a 2-inch domino can be toppled over, it will knock over a 3-inch domino. And a 3-inch domino can topple over a 4.5-inch domino, and a 4.5-inch domino can topple, well, you kind of get the point. By the time you get to the 18th domino, you could knock over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Of course, it's leaning, so that's not fair. The 23rd domino could knock over the Eiffel Tower. And by the time you get to the 29th domino, you could take down the Empire State Building. You know, in the realm of mathematics, there are two great types of progression, linear and geometric. Linear progression is 2 + 2 = 4. Geometric progression is compound and doubling. 2 × 2 = 4. For if you take 30 linear steps, you're 90 feet from where you started. But if you take 30 geometric steps, you've circled the earth 26 times. Now, faith isn't linear. Faith is geometric. Every decision that we make, every step of faith that we take has a chain reaction. And these chain reactions set off 1,000 chain reactions that we haven't even been aware of. They won't be revealed until we reach the other side of the space-time continuum. That is, when we reach heaven. As you think about the domino effect of faith, you can also think about the domino effect of making poor choices. Every time you make a bad choice, it becomes harder to make a good one. Pain and loss in our lives is inevitable, but misery is an option. Now, as you listen to the broadcast today, I know some of you by nature will always respond negatively or with an excuse. I want to encourage you as you listen to this broadcast today to be a person that is able to increase your faith as you exercise your faith. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, "Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways." I don't know if you notice this in dealing with yourself and even dealing with people. Some people don't change their ways because they have seen the light. For some people, they only change their ways when they feel the heat. You see, God expects me to be faithful. God wants me to be faithful. He also expects me not to just be faithful. And too many times I think that's what we say. Well, God just expects me to be faithful. And that's true to a certain extent, but God also expects us to be fruitful. That is, God expects us to produce. In John 15, verse number 8, it says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit by doing small things well. Doing small things well is that path to getting things done. It isn't one large leap, but many small steps. You see, David gave some really good advice to his son Solomon in building the temple. This is what he said in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong, be courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." As you look at the advice that David gives to Solomon, David says, get started on this project. Be strong, be courageous. Don't be afraid, because once you start this project, God is going to make sure that you won't fail. God is going to make sure that you're not forsaken until the work is completed. In Psalm 145:14, it says that God gives us a fresh start, even to those who are ready to quit. So maybe you're listening today and say, man, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit my marriage. I'm going to quit my church. I'm going to quit whatever. I want to encourage you, hang in there. Don't quit. God wants to give you a fresh start. Just hang in there. In Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Forget those former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and the streams in through the wasteland." You see, God has got a way. God wants us to have a fresh start with faith in Him. So here are some ways that we're going to do this. Some really practical ways as you listen to the broadcast today. When God begins to open up a door for you, seize that moment. We're going to be looking at the story of blind Bartimaeus. Let's pick up this story in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples gathered together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, which by the way means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, verse 48, we reveal what the crowd is doing. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Verse 15, this is what he does. Blind Bartimaeus throws his cloak to the side and he jumps to his feet and he comes to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now what a great story we have here. Bartimaeus, when he got up that morning, he had no idea that Jesus was going to be passing by him. As best as he knew, it was just another ordinary day. You know, you think about ordinary days. Oftentimes, God will break through the ordinary days and do something supernatural. I think about the parable that Jesus used about the pearl of great price. We have a farmer, and he's just going along, and he's doing his job as a farmer, and he hits something. And he finds something buried, a great treasure, and he sells everything that he has. In that moment, it was just an ordinary moment. Blind Bartimaeus is having an ordinary day. He's at the same place doing the same thing. He's begging like he did, the same miserable, lonely, pitiful lifestyle that he's been living day in and day out. So as we think about this, he had no time to prepare for Jesus. He had no time to plan for Jesus. It was just an opportunity that was dropped into his lap. What did he have to do? He had to seize that moment. You see, all around you daily, there are opportunities for a fresh start. You get them all the time, but you don't take advantage of them. Why? I think it's because of procrastination. Somebody wrote this, "I spent a fortune on a trampoline, a stationary bike, a rowing machine, complete with gadgets to read my pulse and gadgets to prove my progress results, and others to show the miles I've charted, but they left off the gadget to get me started." You see, that's what it is, getting started. Jesus said this, and again, here is the Message translation. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backwards thinking. You can't put off God's kingdom to tomorrow. Seize the day. You know, procrastination is a very strange phenomenon. You know, we think that by procrastinating, my life is going to get easier. We think it will make our lives more pleasant, when in reality, it creates more stress in our lives. The truth is, you already know the right things to do. You already know what to do. Not only that, you know the benefits of doing the right things in life. So why don't you just do them? You keep saying, well, I'll do it later. It's called the Manana syndrome. Now, not to be confused with the Madonna syndrome. The Manana syndrome is, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off. Someday I'll fill in the blank. You see, one of these days I'll get around to it. I'm aiming to do it, but you never do it. Job reminded us in Job 9:25 that our days go quickly, more quickly than a runner. They sprint right away from us. Job 8:9 says that our life is short. We pass like shadows across the earth. Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow because you don't know what a day may bring forth. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Ephesians 5:16 reminds us that we're to make the most of every opportunity. Jesus said, don't procrastinate. Don't go backwards. Don't put off God's kingdom until tomorrow. Seize the day. Stop procrastinating. Well, we've learned so far that if our faith is going to grow, we must seize the moment. But secondly, we must tame our fears. In Mark 10:48, we see that many people scolded Bartimaeus and told him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, have mercy on me, he cried out. You know, that word tame is an interesting word. It means that we are taking something and crushing it, subduing it, depressing it, taking the spirit right out of it. We talk about taming our tongue, and James says that tongue is a world of iniquity and says no man can tame his tongue. As a matter of fact, it's right, humanly speaking, we cannot tame our tongue. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can control our tongue. We're told that we should tame our fears. And as we look at what happened with blind Bartimaeus, when he shouted out to Jesus, the Bible tells us that many of the people scolded him. And many of them told him, man, just be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly. You see, when he shouted out, everyone around him told him, don't do that. Be quiet. Calm down. Don't make a scene. Surely Jesus is not interested in you. He's got more important things to do. You know, that's what the devil does to us. He whispers things like that to us all the time. You see, when that opportunity of faith comes into our heart, God surely wouldn't be interested in you. Don't make a scene. What would people think of you? You see, those kind of thoughts often keep us from having the faith that we need to be all that God wants us to be. Once you see that need, that opportunity to change, to be healed, all kinds of shouts from the outside will come in and they'll come against you. But I want you to know that if you will continue to shout out to the Lord, you'll discover that God will do abundantly more in your life than you could possibly imagine. Sometimes when I'm driven by fear, I ask myself, well, whose disapproval do you fear the most? Whoever that is, that person is your God. I remember one time I was asked about, would I do a marriage of a same-sex couple? I said, no, that goes against my biblical convictions. And somebody says, well, aren't you fearful of what's going to happen if you refuse to do this wedding? And I says, you know what? I fear more the disappointment of God than I do the fear of men. As you think about walking in faith, peer pressure is real, and it's not just for kids. We all face it in our lives and in many ways and in many times. The fear of disapproval is a struggle for all of us. We were talking about words like codependency, and we're thinking about somebody else's disapproval, but God's word has this warning about it. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of human opinion disables you. Trusting in God protects you from that. You see, I think too many times we have tamed the wrong things in our lives. We don't need to tame the Lion of Judah. We need to let him run loose in our lives and completely control us. What we need to do is to tame the fears in our lives. Philip Yancey, many years ago, wrote a book called The Jesus I Never Knew. And he said this in that book, as I studied the life of Christ, one impression about Jesus struck me more forcefully than any other. We have tamed him. The Jesus I learned about as a child was sweet and inoffensive. The kind of person whose lap you'd want to climb up on. Mr. Rogers with a beard. Indeed, Jesus did have qualities of gentleness and compassion that attracted little children to him. Mr. Rogers, however, he assuredly was not. Not even the Romans would have crucified Mr. Rogers. When we think about Jesus, he is the Lion of Judah. As we tame our fears and embrace him in faith, he can do mighty things for us. Well, here's the third way to expand your faith. We talked about seizing the moment. We talked about taming our fear. Now we must announce our faith. Mark 10:51, going back to blind Bartimaeus, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man answered, "Teacher, I want to see." Clearly, what you really want, state it clearly and state it publicly. You need to tell everyone because a secret faith is a shallow faith. Do you know that every time you set a goal, it is actually a statement of faith? When you say, "Here's my goal in life, here's my objective," then you're saying, "This is what I believe God can do in my life by this time." Goals are statements of faith. Every time you say, "This is what I want God to do, this is what I want God to change, this is my dream, this is my goal, my vision, my objective," you are publicly announcing your faith that you believe God is going to come through and he's going to help you make this come to pass. You see, there's always one qualifier when you set a goal. When you say, "I'm going to go do this with my life," you need to be reminded of that little phrase, "if it is God's will." James reminded us that we ought to say, "If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that." You know, we learn from Galatians chapter 3 that baptism is the washing of the way of the fresh start of our lives, but it also involves dressing you in this adult faith of wardrobe. It's being like Christ in fulfillment of God's promise in our lives. Taking a moment to pronounce that faith, announce it to everybody that you are a follower of Christ. You know, when you think about baptism, that's exactly what baptism is. It's not just a change of heart, but it's a confession. In Romans chapter 10, we learn this, that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Now, don't miss verse number 10. Romans 10:10 says this, "For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved." So it takes both. It takes an inward belief, a change of your heart inwardly, but also an outward profession by your mouth. That is when you are saved. When you think about knowing all that God wants to do in your life, realizing that God wants to do abundantly more than you ask or think. There was an MIT professor, and this MIT professor, Massachusetts Institute for Technology, met the author of all knowledge. Dr. Rosalind Pickard, founder and director of the Effective Research Group at MIT, was once convinced that she didn't need God or religion. So she declared herself an atheist and dismissed believers as uneducated. But as an educated person, she figured at least she should read the Bible. Pickard said, "When I first opened the Bible, I expected to find phony miracles, an assorted gobbledygook. To my surprise, the book of Proverbs was filled with wisdom. I had to pause while reading and think." She read through the entire Bible twice. She said, "I felt this strange sense of being spoken to. Part of me was increasingly eager to spend time with the God of the Bible, but an irritated voice inside me insisted I would be happy once again if I just moved on." In college, another student one time invited her to church. The pastor got her attention when he asked, "Who is the Lord of your life?" She said, "I was intrigued. I was the captain of my ship, but was it possible that God would actually be willing to lead me? After praying, 'Jesus Christ, I ask you to be Lord of my life,' my world changed dramatically. As if a flat, black and white existence suddenly turned to full color and three-dimensional. But I lost nothing in my urge to seek knowledge. In fact, I felt emboldened to speak even tougher questions about how the world works. Today, I work closely with people whose lives are filled with medical struggles. I do not have adequate answers to explain all of their suffering, but I know there is a God of unfathomable greatness and love who freely enters into relationship with all who confess their sins and call upon his name. I once thought I was too smart to believe in God. Now I know I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in the cosmos, the author of all science, mathematics, art, and everything else there is to know. Today I walk with joy alongside the most amazing companion anyone could ask for, filled with desire to keep learning and to keep exploring. Oh, as you look at your faith, you must announce your faith. You must tame your fear. You must seize the moment as that faith opportunity opens up, and then you must receive God's grace. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, "Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight. Now, as you listen to the broadcast today, I know that there's a lot of hurt out there. Some of you may be barely making it as you drive down the interstate. Some of you are carrying major conflict, major pain, major disappointment, major grief in your life. Some of you are living a lonely life and you feel that this happiness has passed you by. You're kind of like this blind beggar Bartimaeus on the side of the road. You're in a lot of misery. And the truth is that you can put on a happy smile, but inside you're hurting. Inside you're filled with pain. I remind you of John 1:16. From the fullness of God's grace, we have received one blessing after another blessing. I heard a story this week about a little boy, and his father asked him to go into the backyard to move a big boulder. He goes to the backyard and he pushes it, but it won't move. He pulls it, but it won't move. He uses a lever and tries to leverage it, but it won't move. He even ties up his dog to the boulder and tries to pull it with a rope, but it won't move. All of these different ways. He finally comes back in and he says, "Dad, I can't do it. It's impossible." The father says, "Well, son, have you tried everything?" He says, "Well, yes." "Have you really tried everything?" "Yes, I have. I've tried everything." The father says, "You didn't try asking me to help you." You see, that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift. Well, here's the fifth point and the last point in the broadcast today. If you're going to have your faith constantly growing, you must always take that next step. In Mark 10:46, we see that Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. And if you have a thought, keep that thought in your mind. He was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by, and he meets Jesus. But then he began to follow Jesus on the road. We see these phrases that he got up, he regained his sight, and he began to follow Jesus on the road. In James 2:14, it says, "If people say they have faith, but they do nothing, their faith is worth nothing." You see, everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean state, a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus had no idea that Jesus was going to pass by him that day. To him, it was just another day. Same place, same thing, another miserable day. But God gave him an unexpected opportunity that could change his life forever. Oh, I want to encourage you, don't blow it. Don't waste it. I close with one final illustration. The story of a man who resigns himself to a life of blindness. Kyle Idleman, in one of his books, wrote this. When Pierre Paul Thomas was growing up in Montreal, Canada in 1940s, he couldn't play hockey with his brothers and it broke his heart. You see, Thomas was born blind, long before a cure was available. So for most of his life, he could only imagine the world that people often described to him. For years, he walked with a white cane to avoid obstacles in front of him. But at the age of 66, Thomas fell down the stairs at his apartment building and fractured several bones in his face. He was rushed to the hospital with severe swelling around his eyes. A team of doctors went to work to repair the bones. Months later, he went to be examined by a plastic surgeon for a consultation about repairing his scalp. The surgeon casually asked Thomas, "Oh, while we're at it, do you want us to fix your eyes too?" Thomas didn't understand. nor did he know how to respond. Not long after that, Thomas had surgery and could see for the very first time. Suddenly, his world consisted of bright colors that he had never fathomed before. He spoke of being awestruck by the flowers and the blooming of trees. As beautiful as the story of the 66-year-old man was, he was able to see for the first time. There is a sad reality. He could have had that same surgery as a younger man at a younger age, and he could have seen earlier. Thomas assumed such a possibility was impossible and had resigned himself to a life of blindness when in reality, he could have experienced the gift of sight decades earlier.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.